The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning, and you're very welcome along to the programme. It's just approaching 5 minutes past nine on this Thursday, the 8th of January. We do hope you're very well indeed, and we've got a packed couple of hours for you, so don't go anywhere. Lots coming up, covering all the big issues locally and all the latest news and your views as well. I'll remind you of how you can get in contact with us a little later on, but just to invite you to watch the programme, if you wish, you can do so every single day, of course, here. A very visual programme for you on your smart TV or your Fire Stick. We're on the YouTube app, we're across Facebook and on the X platform as well. Let's look at some of the stories in the papers this morning. The Draconnell Tribune, they're talking of a credit union merger. Apparently, this Swilly Mulroy Credit Union has reached an advanced stage of negotiations to form a merger with another CU in Donegal. That's according to sources based at their main office in Kerrykeelan. With over 5,000 members, Swilly Mulroy CU is a big part of life in the parishes of Fannad, Killygarvan and Tullyfern ever since their founding in 1985. They opened their office in Kerrykeelan in 1992 following the purchase of the site in 1989. The merger decision is seen as a positive development for the future with lower interest rates, access to current accounts and larger mortgages. Okay, so could be good news for credit union customers in that area. Interesting story in the Irish Independent this morning. Government seeks urgent meeting over AI sex abuse images on X. And I know I've kind of gone a bit strong on this one this week. It's just a story that is particularly troubling for me, and it would be particularly troubling for anyone who was a victim of this type of activity. It's in the Irish Independent, which I struggle to read. I don't know if it's the text and the colour of the paper or it's my eyeballs. But anyway, ministers are scrambling to find a way to combat a huge increase in the number of digitally created images of semi-nude women and children on social media platform X. Now, if the truth be told, what they're talking about here is it's women in bikinis, lingerie, etc. And X seems to have been able to eliminate the under 18s issue or the children's issue. So really primarily what we're talking about here is, just to be absolutely clear, because I'm not saying the language is incorrect, it's just so everyone knows what we're talking about. It's fully clothed women appearing in bikinis. Now, what you have also on that platform is a lot of adult models who are also using this technology to promote their websites. So there's a mixture of people that are doing it for their own devices and others that are exploiting other people and abusing other people. Well, amid growing alarm in government over the proliferation of deepfake sexual abuse images, the junior minister with responsibility for AI, Niamh Smith, has written to senior executives of the Irish offices of X, seeking an urgent meeting over the impact of its Grok artificial intelligence tool. Now, I think the problem they have, X has, is the complexity, obviously, of artificial intelligence. I don't think they can weed this out at the same time as not losing other features. I think AI has grown to a point whereby they're going to really struggle to do it, and they're going to tie it up in freedom of speech and hope it blows over, and then so on and so forth. But we shall see. The Irish Farmers Journal, EU set to sign up to MercyCorps. Again, another story that's featured heavily on the programme this week because of its significance. The European Commission is on the cusp of signing the EU-MercyCorps trade deal with Brussels. Officials envisage that the deal will be signed quite soon. This is the Farmers Journal, did I mention. This week, the Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, proposed early access to CAP funds post-2028 for member states, a move which the IFA claimed was aimed at shoring up support for the Mercosur deal. This came on foot of a request from Italy, which is now expected to do a U-turn and back the deal. Should Italy decide to approve the agreement, the blocking minority of EU member states will fall, paving the way for the deal 25 years in the making to be signed. The Taoiseach, Thánaiste and independent TDs were to meet to discuss the matter on Wednesday amid rising tensions within the coalition. Now, again, my gut feeling is, and there's nothing really to base this on, except the fact that we don't like to go against things in Europe. I think they will find some way for Ireland to not vote against this deal. Does that mean more goodies for the independent support and government? Perhaps. perhaps. So wait and see. I know we were chatting to MEP Kieran Malula yesterday, and he doesn't think that's going to happen. I disagree with him, so we'll see. Right, okay, lots and lots of people are on, they're called fat jabs, right, but the weight loss jabs, and it's a little bit like vaping and other things. We don't really know the full consequences of it yet, but wonder, are you interested in this? Tens of thousands of Irish people taking weight loss jabs may need to stay on them for life, experts have warned. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. There seems to be a lot of benefits for these jabs. A landmark study found most users regain the weight inside 2 years of stopping treatment, much faster than traditional dieters. The injections, including now household names such as Ozempic, Mounjaro and Wegovy, have been hailed as breakthrough to obesity or in obesity treatment. But a major review by Oxford University suggests the benefits may be short-lived once treatment ends in a phenomenon dubbed Ozempic rebound. So I don't know. I mean, obviously this is a personal issue, but you can contact us anonymously by text or WhatsApping 086 60 25,000. You know, did you enjoy significant weight loss using some of these drugs? Did you stop taking them and find you had to go back on them? Or were you able to sustain the weight loss? We're going to be talking about this, I imagine, a little later on in the program. But that being said, there are, I have to take a tablet for gout, and apparently I'm going to have to take that forever. unless there's some miracle advancement in medicine, which I've been waiting for since I was 15. There was always this next big thing going to happen, but still here we are. Not just in that gout area, but across the board. But anyway, it's not necessarily a bad thing that you might have to stay on them, but if you're paying for them or the government changed its policy in terms of their availability on medical cards, which I presume they are for people who are at risk of diabetes, etc. But let me know. You can call us to 07491 25,000. Opposition parties have accused the government of throwing in the towel, calling it a catastrophic failure that Ireland will not meet its 2030 emission targets. This is in the Irish Daily Star. However, the government had committed to reducing carbon emissions by 51% between 2018 and 2030. However, Minister for Environment Dara O'Brien has admitted the target will be missed by the somewhat significant amount of around 15 million tonnes. It could result in Ireland being fined up to 28 billion by the European Union. 28 billion, a fine from a club that we're a part of. How does that feel, right? But those could well be the consequences. And the thing about it as well is this is all in the context of, and it'll come up in an interview shortly, I'm sure, this is all in the context of higher electricity prices, higher fuel prices, carbon taxes, initiatives to try and retrain us to do certain things. And yet here we are still effectively having to put a 28 billion bill or foot a 28 billion bill because we can't meet those targets. There's something seriously amiss there. Would you agree? Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin's spokesperson on finance. You're hitting out at the government today and it centres on inflation.
Yeah, well, look, this is a real problem that people in Donegal and right across the state are facing, and that's a cost of living crisis. And every month we get figures showing where prices are at. And in the last month, we've seen from numbers that have been released in the last couple of days that food prices and other prices continue to surge ahead. Food prices are about 4%, while inflation right across the board is at 2.8% now. Why is that important? It's important because when the government announced the budget in October, a budget where they said that the cost of living measures and supports were all withdrawn, a budget that we know from independent ESRI has left all workers worse off than they were last year, they said that they expected inflation to be below the target of 2%. They actually expected to come in at 1.8. That's not what's happening. What's happening is that it's now 50% higher than what they expected, and yet the government still refuses to introduce cost of living measures. And worse than that there, Greg, what they're doing is making things worse again. Now, we don't have them in Donegal, but if you're going up to a hospital appointment in Dublin, you'll notice now that the tolls have gone up further. You'll also know that January is the month that you have to pay your local property tax. That's increased for every single household right across Donegal and right across the state because of government decisions. petrol and diesel has gone up in the last couple of months as a result of government decisions. We're going to see home heating oil going up in the next number of months as a result of government decisions. So they're making things worse, and that's the problem here. And,
okay,
and really now, the fact that they've got it so wrong.
Yeah, what do you think they should do, or what would Sinn Féin do if in power?
What they need to do immediately is to introduce a cost of living package. That's the first thing, that to support people in the here and now. And what does that look like? It looks like, in some cases, it looks like one-off payments for people who are really, really hard-pressed. We have the disability sector, for example. They have been out, they've been campaigning outside Leinster House and rightly calling out the government that they have been left €1,400 worse off than they were last year. Like, disability costs money for people just to simply live. So that's these are measures that were introduced in the past that were recognised that help support people, and they should be reintroduced,
but
including
that, in
energy
a way,
credits.
In a way, though, does that not have an impact of driving inflation further, and B, rewarding electricity companies, supermarkets that it's alleged are price gouging? So you're taking more money out of the public purse and rewarding these companies, and potentially having the effect of driving inflation up higher. Is that a sound financial move?
Well, no, it wouldn't drive inflation up higher, because what it's doing is actually reducing the cost for individuals by the state actually supplementing or supporting those costs. But crucially, you're right in terms of a point, and the question that you put is a very, very valid one, because these cost of living measures are only one part of what they need to do. There needs to be three parts to this here. The first is obviously the cost of living measures. The second is stop making things worse. Reverse your decision to put up petrol and diesel. Reverse your decision to put up third level student fees. Reverse your decision not to do anything in relation to the toll bridges. Reverse your decision in relation to put up in home heating oil. These and the local property tax, these are all government decisions. And the third thing, crucially, what they need to do is they need to start dealing with the sectors in our society that are ripping us off. They are the banks, they are the insurance companies, they are the energy companies, they are the very, very large retail companies that ensure then that all of our other supermarkets are price takers instead of price givers. And we can see that in the profit margins that these companies are making. Like, if you look at the banks alone, Greg, €5 billion it was the last recorded profits of two banks in the state. Like, that's astronomical. And yet we have no tax and charge people some of the highest mortgage interest rates in Europe. Like, that's simply unacceptable. We have the same scenario in terms of insurance companies. We have the same scenario in relation to the rip-off that's happening in energy companies. And what's the government doing? They're basically sitting back and being spectators in relation to that. So this has to be a three-pronged approach. Immediate support, stop making situation worse, and then get in there dealing with the sectors that are ripping people off, and protect this Irish citizens, which is the job of government at the end of the day.
But we took in, what is it, somewhere in the region of €106 billion in tax last year. The electricity companies and the supermarkets might look back and say, well, you need to do better with the money that you have washing through your coffers.
Look, absolutely, that there are strong arguments in relation to that. And you can see every year that when the government announces a budget, we had the same last year, that the amount of money that they spend is actually higher than what they plan to. Like, even like the government just introduced a budget in October. It was the first week in October, Greg. They said that they were going to spend X last year. They actually spent €3 billion more. Like, seriously, like, if you were running, or if the people running Highland Radio was getting your numbers wrong that much, then they would be out on their job. There's no supermarket boss that would be able to survive in Donegal if they were making, if they were dealing with their budgets in that matter. And the question that people ask me is, where is that money gone? Because we still see a housing crisis. We still see a crisis if you've got a child with additional needs. We see our hospital in perpetual crisis. And we see people who are really, really struggling to make ends meet.
Well, can you answer that? Where is that money? Where is that money going? I mean, obviously, there's day-to-day spending. There's investment in infrastructure. There's the rainy day fund. But, I mean, there's an awful lot of money coming into this country in 1 month alone, 11-odd billion, that I'm not sure was fully expected. So where is that money going? I mean, is there a black hole?
So there's
Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, so there's two parts to this here. First of all, what we see from the numbers that were released last week is that the surplus that the state, the billions of euro that we expected in the surplus, that means money that's not going anywhere. It's actually there in the piggy bank of the state, if you want to call it that, is actually increased by billions of euro. So more money than we ever thought. So that answers the kind of question, can we do this? Of course we can. And we should do it. We should support people in the here and now. The second part is that they spent more money than they expected, even within the 10-week period from October. And I'm not talking about a few million here and there. I'm talking about billions of euro that they missed out. So where is it going? Some of it's going into complete waste. The other thing that's happening is that we have, when you have a situation of crisis, then you spend more money than you should. Like, spending money isn't a problem. I have no problem with the state spending money, but it should be. So, like, one example I was dealing with our spokesperson on health yesterday to try and assist on an issue in terms of Letterkenny University Hospital. We have people in that hospital that are medically discharged that need to be at home. I know a number of them myself personally that should be at home. They cannot be released from the hospital because there is no home care package. We're talking about 30 minutes a day, maybe in the morning, 30 minutes in the evening to support somebody to be at home. Instead, that person, not that person, because we're talking about numbers, we're talking about dozens of people here that are in Letterkenny University Hospital. Now, why is that a problem of the government? It is a problem of the government because the government is through the pay numbers embargo, refuse to allow Letterkenny or the HSE in Donegal to employ home support workers, people who've interviewed, people who are on a panel, people who are ready to go.
Is that not a local HSE issue, though? Because you don't see these types of delays in these care packages in Dublin, for example. I think the wait down there is pretty much zero, and they use private agencies more than we might up here. Would you be in favour?
And that's exactly it, Greg. That's exactly it. You hit the nail on the head there. That's exactly what they're doing. So what the HSE and the state are telling Donegal is, go to your private agencies. We do not have private agencies in Donegal the same way that they have elsewhere. And we shouldn't either, by the way. Health should be a public service. And it should be, you know, in my view, it should be HSE. But we are very unique compared to other areas. So you do not have the same scope of private agencies. Also, private agencies cost us more money. So in the meantime, between all of this here, what's happening? We have the hospital going into escalation because there's no beds in the hospital, but there are beds in the hospital. The problem is that people should be at home last week and before Christmas are still in that hospital and have no plan to leave the hospital because we can't employ the people who are sitting at home who want to be the home care provider to go in the morning to help them with the 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening. Now, that's an example. I know it's in a micro level, but that's just an example
of finally,
all of that adds up. And I can give numerous other examples.
No, of course, and we hear them on a daily basis on this programme, but just this country is wealthy. We're hearing, what is it, the average weekly wage now in this country is €1,000. Obviously, for lots of people in Donegal, that sounds like a fantasy. But there are many people doing well in this country. And I was chatting to a car dealership yesterday. They said pre-orders for new cars for this year are at record levels. You wouldn't do universal supports for people, would you? Surely it is time that we live in a more equal and fair society where those that are doing okay or those that are doing well are self-sufficient. But we start to target and support those that are less well off, rather than wasting tax money by giving everyone something towards their electricity and boosting the profits of electricity companies. Do we not need a plan to make sure we can lift the hundreds of thousands of children out of poverty and those impoverished families up to a decent level of living? Surely we can be nuanced and get it right to have a fairer society.
Yeah, well, two things, and I know you mentioned boosting the profits of the property and the energy industry. First of all, by supporting parts of the bills doesn't actually boost the profits. That's a government line, and it's a lazy government line that the government use to try and avoid the fact that they're not allowing or they're not dealing with the fact that we're being ripped off left, right and centre.
Well, can I just counter that because that was one of the things I said myself prior to the government using that argument. The bottom line is, instead of putting pressure on electricity companies to drop their prices, if you use taxpayers' money to meet those prices that they're charging, I think in some way that shows some level of, okaying what they're doing. So, but anyway, that's just my...
100%. You're 100%, Greg, in relation to that there. That's when I go back to the point that this alone isn't enough. You have to deal with the three issues. Support people in the here and now, stop making things worse, and then end the rip-off. And that's crucial. See, if you're just given supporting people, that's not dealing with the long-term systemic problem we have here, that there is greedflation, that people are making a racket out of this here, and ordinary people are suffering. But you asked a direct question in relation to you, would you give universal energy credits? If I were, if it was my choice, and I've made this very, very clear, this would be a targeted measure. Can it be targeted in the next month? No, it can't. We've met with the energy regulator and we've said, you know, can you do a targeted measure in relation to energy credits? Of course it can be done, but it would take a number of months for it to be introduced. And that's why in the here and now, what we need to do is actually to provide a universal energy credits, just the way it was done in the past. Because unfortunately, we're also in a situation where more people are actually impacted this. You're right, some people are doing well in the state, and good luck to them. But there are more people now than ever that we are seeing that are behind in their energy bills. Like, the history of the state has never seen as many people who can't pay their energy bill. We're talking about 250,000 households who aren't able to meet their energy bills. And this is just getting worse, because what happened in October is a million customers through the different energy providers basically says, we're putting up our prices. They're putting them up by about 10, 11 and 12%. Those bills come in a two-monthly cycle. They're starting to come in now. Yep. And people are phoning me and they're coming in and saying, oh my God, what has happened over the winter? Because look, they haven't, you know, they're not paying that minute attention to what energy are saying, but they're now feeling the brunt of it after Christmas when they see their energy bills.
Deputy Pearce, sorry about that. Deputy Pearce Doherty, Sinn Féin Finance Spokesperson, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks a million. Thank you.
Where your opinion matters. The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
We say good morning to Barry Malloy, Chair of Glenswilly GA Club. Good morning to you, Barry.
Good morning, Greg.
Obviously, you know, on the positive side, lots of great stuff going on at Glenswilly. Unfortunately, we're focusing a little bit on the negative side this morning. And it's not Glenswilly GA Club, it's in the community. The club has issued an appeal following a rise in dog fouling on and around the club's new walkway. So talk to me about the walkway. Talk to me about what you're seeing.
Yeah, this is something that was brought to our attention recently, Greg. Just for your listeners, I suppose, and people that are listening in, the walkway was completed last year after extensive works around the club grounds. There was, you know, a lot of fundraising done by volunteers in the club, along with some grant support given to us as well, you know. So really and truly, it's a community amenity, as you said. It's not just for the GA club alone, but this is something that has been raised with us recently, and we've seen evidence of it ourselves. The dog fouling has become an issue at the club grounds. Yeah.
How bad? What are you being told?
Well, I mean, listen, it's just, I don't know if you've been out there, Greg, but you know, the track was around the pitch, the playing pitch there, and we got it fully tarmacked and all, so it's set up now for you know, everybody to use within the community, but there has been instances of dog fouling that has occurred. And I suppose, you know, at the end of the day, that, as I said, it's an amenity for the community, for everybody to use. And it's great to see the amount of people coming there now and using it, you know, especially this time of year. The track lit, you know, at night as well, early morning and at night. So it's open for people to use at all times of the day. But I suppose the concerns that we have is for public health and safety in general. And, you know, especially our children that might be down around the club grounds, maybe not so much this time of year, but the concern is going forward when training and games begin on the playing pitch, you know, in terms of just children being exposed to that. So that's the concerns we have on it. And really and truly, we're just appealing to the dog owners that are using the facility to, I suppose, first of all, keep the dogs in the lead at all times, and second of all, to, you know, clean up after the dogs, essentially, because, you know, we don't want any situation where there's children, maybe, and other older people and other people exposed to the risks of
dogs. I mean, we've gone through it before, people in wheelchairs, you know, people using prams. There's no end of reasons why this is absolutely disgusting. And, you know, normally it's the case, and I presume it's the case here, we're talking about the minority of dog owners, but unfortunately, if they persist in their activity, this could have an impact on all dog owners, of course, with the exception of assistant dogs or guide dogs. If it continues as is, the threat's been put out there, we might have to ban dogs altogether, with the exceptions I mentioned.
Yeah, and that's it, Greg. I know we're aware of other clubs and that around the county that had this issue as well. And unfortunately, they were just in the position that they had no other choice. You know, after putting an appeal out and so on to their local community and users of their own facilities, they were left in no other position and no other choice but to impose a full ban on dogs around the track. And listen, I personally speak, I have no issue with any dog owners, absolutely not. But as chair of the club, I feel that we have to raise this, you know, just to highlight it, you know, in our own community and for anybody that's coming in to use it. Obviously, with the exception of people that have guide dogs and so on. So, look, we don't want to be in the position where we have to take that decision, Greg. But if it comes to it, we'll be left with no other choice, unfortunately. But we're hoping, you know, by putting this appeal out now, that it will, you know, just make people aware of you know, how much hard work it takes for volunteers to just look after the club and the maintenance of the club and the grounds and so on. And, you know, hopefully that they'll, you know, that they'll take on board the message that we're given.
I don't think you could be any fairer either. It's fair warning. All you're asking for people is to take their waste home like the majority do. Don't ruin it for everyone. And think of other people, people with walking sticks, people with wheelchairs, people with pushing prams, children, the terrible danger there is with dog feces to children's eyesight. There's no end of reasons as to not pick up, to not pick up. Thanks very much, Barry. Take care. Barry Malloy, chair of Glenswilly GEA Club. On the weight loss drugs, a caller says, it's interesting, Greg. I was taking these drugs to manage my type 2 diabetes. They helped lower my blood sugar by stimulating insulin release and improving insulin sensitivity. No one ever had an issue that I would be on it for life. Yet the fat shaming of those who take it simply for weight loss is astonishing. What's the difference if it helps keep us in a healthy place? Well, I hope there's no impression that anyone's fat shaming. The fact is that obesity is a disease, the same as mental health and other physical ailments as well. We have drugs here now that allow people to lose weight and become more healthier, cardiovascular, lungs, etc. We talked about it on this show before. It really is important. It's not just about weight. Health and weight are not necessarily the exact same thing. You can be skinny and unhealthy, right? It's about your diet as well and implementing a new regime, you know, more fruit, more fiber, more exercise, of course. But these drugs are amazing in helping people lose weight and give them their life back. It's the cost side of it, really, or the inconvenience side of it, if you had to be on them in the long term. But there's no judging, certainly from me anyway, in relation to that. Another, the medication suppresses hunger but does not address the underlying emotion or behavioural reasons for overeating. On the issue of emissions, no EU country will meet the emissions target. It's a taxation by stealth. Not strictly true. Around half of the 27 EU states are projected to meet their individual targets. We are amongst a group like France, Germany, the Netherlands, which are problematic, and we'll end up buying credits from other countries that are doing really quite well in relation to it. So over the half of the EU countries are meeting their targets, and the expense to us is the fines, effectively buying these emission credits. So I take your point, but it's, as I say, half the countries are doing okay. The likes of Spain's at a great advantage with weather. They're producing tons of electricity through solar, etc. They've got, you know, that's what, and some of these countries are not as reliant on agriculture, for an example. So the odds are stacked quite favourably for some countries versus others. Now, I'm told the Coravaddy back road in Drumkeen is still bad with black ice. Some cars are stuck on it. So the advice from this listener, and I'm only passing on their advice, is to avoid it at this time. But the temperature hasn't got up to the point whereby really bad spots will get clear. So just be careful and not presume that all roads are completely ice-free at this point. All the main roads certainly are not far off it. But the Coravaddy back road in Drumkeen, I'm told, is still subject to black ice. Now, Johnny's Ranch has been part of the facade of Remalton for quite some time, but it faces a very uncertain future. Johnny Patterson of Johnny's Ranch joins me now. Thanks for chatting to me today, Johnny.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, how long have you been operating in Remalton for? Just give us a brief history.
So we opened in around 2018, and since sat there, we were always located on Yamble Square. But since we opened, we had a few complaints from a certain person, and then it escalated in 2023-2024 to a noise pollution complaint, which is before the courts as well, with the council, and then now we have the unauthorised development case as well with the council in the courts. So there's two cases before the courts at the moment.
Which you are resisting and opposing to, I take it.
Yeah, well, Remalton as a whole is a market town. There is no designated trading spots within the town at all by the council, and going back as far as, I would say, 1600s, Remalton has been always passed as a trading town.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but there wasn't deep fat fryers and there wasn't generators back in the 16th century. Would you concede that some of your activity, as beautiful as all your food is though, could maybe the smells could find their way into local properties, or maybe the constant hum of a generator, if in fact you use one, I'm not sure, maybe you use power banks, but you can answer that, that can cause some inconvenience for some people?
Well, where we're located in the centre of the town. There's two roads opposing traffic going in both directions where the local link, everything passes by daily. We are open from 3:15 to 8:45 at night. And like the noise levels that was recorded for the court case doesn't even equate to what the World Health Organization equates as noise pollution.
So up until now, what kind of licensing or what have you would you have required to operate there, if any, Johnny?
So within the trading bylaws, within the framework of what the council have in place, is that there's only 9 designated towns within the trademark or within the trading bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
So they are like Carndonagh, Bundoran, Ballyshannon. You actually don't need one for Remalton, Rathmullen, Mulford. Any Dunfanaghy is even another one that
it's
you
not
don't
designated.
Even need
yeah.
one for.
No, go ahead, Johnny, please.
Yeah, so within that framework, we're working within that framework that the council have actually set out.
Now, obviously, you've had this pitch now for, it's heading into its 8th year. Is there an alternative? Now, obviously, you are resisting moving. You say, why should we? We've been established here. We're very popular. We do a lot for the community. Why should we? But, I mean, to try and put this behind you, if I could put it to you like that, is there anywhere else that you could locate that you would have the same sort of footfall and parking and be able to operate your business but not have this sort of constant battle?
Well, there is actually no other trademarked place in Remalton as designated by the council. The council was the ones that actually put me here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't actually know where else to go, because there is no actual other trading spots in Remalton. And, you know, Remalton, the people of Remalton and wider, right across from Letterkenny on down, and even all over the whole county, have been so supportive. Do you know what I feel personally is just that out of all the traders within the county, this will have a ramification for all of them, not mm-hmm. only just me.
Yeah,
it's going to be all traders right across the county.
Seeing as you are part of this is about noise, and like I've sat in this chair before, Johnny, and I've done interviews about wind farms, okay? And it's the constant whir of them, even if you're not close to them, even if it doesn't sort of hit a certain decibel, it can really be bothersome for people. So I presume that's a similar argument that's being used for your generator. Would you not consider maybe investing 1,500 quid on a power bank that could leave you operating all day and eliminate that and say, right, okay, I've addressed the noise, what now?
Well, I have actually got the silent generators and it's still not good enough, but I did request that could I get a PowerPoint the same as what's in Rathmullen and different places by the ESB, but I was told that it wasn't available for remote.
And there's no way you could, there's no friendly neighbour you could run a wire from or anything?
Not that I'm aware of. But, like, we're in the middle of the town. There's cars coming, lorries, tractors going past from morning to night.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant flow because we're out in the gateway to the whole Carrigart down in the peninsula and on into Rathmullen and Milford. So the whole thing is just, like, a constant flow of traffic coming through.
What kind of support have you I know the answer to this question, but not everyone's familiar with the story. What kind of support have you received from the local community? And it's not just those that are around you. Obviously, people are travelling in from the hinterlands to your ranch.
Yeah. So the support has been I actually didn't think I had as many people on board. Like, there was a petition of over 2,000, and then there was 900 offline that was handed into the council. There was a rally that was held by the local community where on a day that was probably the wettest day last year, there was 500 people. And then the continual support, like, from everybody, because people don't just come to me and Remelton. When they come to me, they're going to rather the butchers, the shop, to pick up something.
Mm-hmm. It's just a shame you couldn't get power. It's a shame you couldn't get power to your business without using generators.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. But like, we close a 8:45 at night, which is completely within the framework of the law again, because the law says 11:00.
Yeah, I understand.
It's
the
cut-off point.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not taking sides in this either, Johnny. It's just trying to be solution focused. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think if a lot of people that are supporting you, if it was outside, you know, their homes, and you had this where, and I know the noise comes off a silent generator, would they feel the same? It's just to try and be as balanced as is possible. Gar from Remelton.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, you understand that, don't you, Johnny? Gar supports you.
Yeah.
You believe this is a terrible situation altogether, Gar. It is Gar, is it? Or it is Gar.
It is Gar, yeah. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Look, I'm not going to mention any names here, quite obviously, but this is quite clearly a case of victimisation against Johnny and his sister Martina. They do nothing but provide a fantastic service to the people of Remelton and beyond. And in my job, I work with people across Donegal, as far as Sligo, Derry, Galway, and people talk of Johnny's Ranch in those places.
Mm-hmm. Would you be okay with a similar business within a stone's throw of your house, Gar?
I wouldn't have a problem with that. Okay. I mean, where I live, there are businesses around me, and We have people that park their cars and to attend those various businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not about disruption, Greg. It's not about noise. It's the influence of one person here.
Mm.
And that's the nub of this issue.
Yeah, okay. And for obvious reasons, we're not going to get into that because there's a process ongoing. But everybody has a right to an opinion as well, too, you know? And they're entitled to express that without it being shaped or fashioned into something that feels personal or vindictive. Do you know what I mean? Like, as I say, we all would have the right to have an objection equally, Gar, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. And I fully agree that everybody should have the right to object. But
you feel it's disproportionate. I think what you're saying is the views of an individual or individuals are disproportionately outweighing the benefits and the views of the majority.
This is a targeted attack on Johnny and his sister.
Well,
that's what this is.
So you're saying it's not because of the business?
The business may be the vehicle
rather than the individual. So just want to be careful with language. Gar, thank you very much indeed. I really appreciate your opinion. Johnny, when do you find out what's next?
So we're going for a full day hearing, supposedly in February, which I found out through the media as well.
Mm.
But there's also another case, the noise pollution case, also has to be heard as well. So the two is running together.
What's the other case? Sorry, I know you mentioned it. The noise pollution case. And what's the other case against you?
It's an unauthorized development.
Right, okay.
Which to me is crazy because they're calling it an unauthorized development where it's on four wheels. It's not structure.
Mm.
There's mm-hmm. nothing built or attached to it.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, indeed. Maybe if you moved it, I don't know, are you open every day, are you? But I understand where you're coming from, but there are ways around that too. All right, Johnny, listen, lots of people supporting you, obviously. There are other people with different views, but thank you for coming on and chatting to me. And as I say, I have to play things down the middle, Johnny. I'm not on one side or other or against you or for you, but you know yourself, it's just we're under strict rules. Governed by Commissioner Mann. Thanks very much. Look after yourself, Johnny. I know lots and lots of people in that area very much in support of Johnny, as is shown in the level of online support and petitions, etc. We'll follow that story closely, of course. It's the issue of the generator, it says a listener. Can he address the noise from it 14 hours a day? Sure, that would get on anyone's nerves. Again, sometimes I think we have to make one wonder, and this is not in any way to oppose Johnny or anything like that. I've eaten out of the place for crying out loud, and it's lovely. But we have to think, right, would that over time do your head in. A caller says, surely there is sufficient empty properties in Remelton, why not relocate to a premises? Remelton, says a listener, is a market town, and when I sought a trader's license, I was told I didn't need one, and hence no rates are payable, and that's the same in trader towns throughout Donegal. Let me see, I read that one. Why did he not use a silent generator? Yes, now he has, but for years he didn't. Another, why is Johnny's Ranch being singled out by the council? There are three of these food trucks in a small area in Rathmullen. No word about it. They are doing no harm whatsoever. Save Johnny's Ranch from Donegal's council, says another. Remelton is an historic town, and I agree the chip van is inappropriate. It would be different if it was moved every evening, but it's there all the time. Another, there's almost no noise from Johnny's Ranch. It's a nonsense argument, according to Noel. Another, as a resident of Remelton, I would like to express my sincere support to Johnny's Ranch. Johnny Patterson's a very humble person who is simply making a living. Other residents have no issue with any noise. We are all behind Johnny's Ranch. Another, he doesn't have a silent generator, but he did. But silent generators are not fully silent either. As far as I'm aware, I was looking at some of them. They're enclosed and Maybe not as noisy as the exposed ones, but I'm not sure they're fully silent either.